It is a fact. Most home burglaries start with a ring of your doorbell to make sure you're not home. Alarm systems tell you after someone breaks in, but Ring Video Doorbell can prevent the burglary before it happens. Ring lets you see and speak with whoever's at your home from anywhere using your smartphone. With Ring, you're always home. Ring takes just 5 minutes to install, and for under $200, it's the easiest, most cost-effective way to protect and monitor your home. Go to ring.com/WSJ now for free expedited FedEx shipping. That's ring.com. /WSJ.
Coffee? Check. Earbuds? Check. Make us part of your morning routine. WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.
Coming up on Heard on the Street, is Nike's big endorsement deal with LeBron money well spent?
From Wall Street to Main Street to your street, this is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal. Money news that helps your bottom line.
Hello, and welcome to Heard on the Street, the podcast. We are the Wall Street Journal's home for commentary on all things financial all over the world. Reporting from New York, I'm Miriam Gottfried, joined by my colleague Spencer Jacob. Hi, Spencer.
Hi, Miriam.
Good to have you here.
Thanks.
We have Steve Russolillo here to talk about Nike's big endorsement deals. Hi, Steve.
How's it going?
Steve, Nike likely just spent more than $500 million for a lifetime endorsement deal with LeBron James of the Cleveland Cavaliers. How could that possibly be worth it?
Yeah, it's certainly an eye-popping number. It looks like an eye-popping number. But, it's interesting because this has been Nike's strategy for a long time now, is to give these big endorsements. It started with Michael Jordan 3 decades ago. And now, you know, you've seen a number of these big deals with big-time athletes. And so the question is, how could it possibly be worth it? And, well, you have to spend money to make money is really the one-line answer to that question. And that's what Nike has been doing for years and years. And, you know, they did it again this past quarter. They reported quarterly results late Tuesday. They beat estimates yet again. This is a company that continues to beat estimates time and time again. And their revenue is up sharply. And the key thing that we looked at ahead of the results was, you know, how does this spending actually compare to what the company is bringing in? How does it compare to their revenue? And actually, what we found was quite interesting. Over the past 7 years, when looking at all of their endorsements, all of their marketing, the LeBron type deals, when you add all them together, they actually, as a percentage of total revenue, it's actually been coming down over the past 7 years. So the spending has clearly been they've been clearly seeing a benefit for all this spending.
And Steve, you know, you were pretty optimistic about how Nike was going to do, and you were correct. You wrote it obviously for ahead of the tape before the numbers came out. Can you tell us a little bit about what the numbers look like? I mean, they did better in China and other places, and how that's driven by endorsements and their willingness to write these big checks.
Yeah, so China was clearly a bright spot for them. A couple of key numbers here. So one is just overall revenue. When you exclude currency effects, revenue was up 12%, and that's now the eighth straight quarter that Nike has had double-digit percentage revenue growth, excluding currency. So it's just astounding, a company of that size to keep growing consistently at that magnitude. So that's number one. And number two, we've seen it's quite interesting because a lot of retailers clearly have been struggling this holiday season. So the question is, well, what is Nike really doing different than everybody else? And more than half of Nike's revenue actually comes from its footwear category. So it comes from things like basketball shoes and sneakers and other footwear. And so that's perhaps a difference from some other companies. Even if you look at someone like Under Armour, they're more of an apparel maker, as opposed to they're growing in footwear, but they clearly their bread and butter is apparel. And so a lot of the apparel makers are struggling right now, but the footwear makers are actually doing okay, particularly when you look at Nike.
That's interesting that you bring that apparel versus footwear distinction up, because I've actually written about apparel versus non-apparel retailers, and the apparel retailers are a lot more volatile because, you know, they're more fashion-driven. So it could be that they're riding high right now, but, you know, next season maybe they're out, or maybe they're not fashionable anymore. And it seems like Nike's really been able to capture that the repeat customer, because its iconic brand is sort of out there, and footwear is much more of a unique item than apparel. Somehow.
Exactly. Yeah, and brand loyalty certainly for Nike has been one of their strong suits for a really long time here. One other number that we should mention is that future orders, this is the measure of anticipated shipments for Nike, that was up 15% this quarter. That is a really, really large number for them. This is a key metric that Wall Street really follows, just to see, you know, it's a leading indicator curve, how their results are going to do, potentially how the results are going to do in the future. And, you know, if you look at the past quarter, it was up 9%. The two quarters before that, only up 2% apiece. So 15% there is very strong. So, you know, it's really interesting. Nike is up more than 30% this year, the stock price. That's the best performer in the Dow. It's more than tripled over the past 5 years. It's just been one of the most consistent performers, and it looks like it's going to keep going now.
Got it. We're going to have to wrap it up there. That wraps up the Your Money Matters edition of Herd on the Street. Be sure to check out our full Herd on the Street podcast at wsj.com/podcasts. Thanks for listening.
WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.